Hello, and welcome to Spiritual Sundays here on The Remnants of Reese's Remember All. It's the first episode of the entire show for Sundays, so let's establish a baseline, shall we? Who am I, how long I've been practicing, and what my practice is? Very simply put, I am a Norse pagan practitioner, as well as a Greek pagan practitioner with a dash of Egyptian practitioner and a hint of Celtic practitioner. Typically, my whole thing is going bump back against the things that go bump in the night. A bit cliche, I know, but the phrase does work here. And I do hope that you can hear me well. Having some audio equipment issues, and there is construction going on. So my road currently, having gone from secondary to a primary road, even though it's a connector road, bit of a hassle for me because there's all these cars going by and construction going on in the distance, and I can't hear to know that my microphone is not picking all of that up. With all of that disclaimer being said, a little late in the start, I want to keep this relaxed. I'm going to do some educational stuff with this. I've been practicing for almost 12 years now, and some of my mentors and elders have said that I am on the level of mentor and elder, and personally, talking with my fairy godmother the other day, we both sat there and said that when we've been handed the title and the position of elder, that we don't necessarily go for it. We don't lean into it because there is just so much out there to learn and to know. And with a lot of these older faiths, we're digging up more information because a lot of it has been Christian canonized or Catholicized in some fashion that, you know, it just makes things feel less authentic, especially within the context of neo-paganism, having that time to reflect and think on things that matters. And it's something that we all have to do individually. So I've been on the pagan journey actually since I was about 16, so 14 years. I'm 30 now, so 14 years I've been on this journey. It started off as research for short stories that I was writing and getting facts and information right, because I had an interest in the mythology and I had an interest in how other cultures practice. So I would look into how modern practices in like Japan for Shinto or Tao Buddhist, those practices in Asia, and then also the practices also in Asia within India. Now, those were a little more eye-opening. The Hindu faith, it's rather interesting. Not necessarily my cup of tea, but I do like how it seems to operate and work. I haven't looked into it in, oh, gods, I want to say 6-ish years. And that's just a rough guess. Simply because I've been busy the last few years. I usually try to brush up a little bit more on everything. I try to brush up on everything a little bit here and there. But I've been honing my craft. So I don't really feel that bad for letting the rest kind of fall by the wayside, as they say. Because in honing your craft, you focus in on where you want to go and where you want to be and what you actually vibe with. And it's less of exploratory learning, and then it becomes more of a deep dive. I started off in the Greco-Roman pantheon, and that was my first home. And so everything just kind of spawned from there. That was my start. And then I got further into it with Wicca. That really kind of jump-started things, because I started reading everything that I possibly could. And it was a nice point for me to break away from the Christian roots that I had had that were no longer serving me. It didn't work. I was being, fast-tracked for the Lutheran seminary school to be a Lutheran pastor. But I started reading more of the Bible, and I started, asking all these questions that no one could give me an answer to. The pastor, the leadership teams, the other pastors from the nearby churches that ours was affiliated with weren't able to give me an answer. And then I started going to evangelical churches, trying to find, a ministry that had answers to these questions about the contradictions and the missing information. But then everybody says, all of this information is there. It's there. But I wasn't seeing it. And I was reading the exact same book that everybody else was. I was reading all of that, and it wasn't clicking. It wasn't making sense. So I, knowing that this was an actual faith that was going on, I decided to take a chance, take a moment, and dive further into paganism and just try and find myself and find out who, I am, as we all do as young adults. That path to finding yourself can be treacherous at times. And lately I've been doing a lot of further unpacking of that Christian upbringing. The deconstructing of those values, and in doing so, you tend to start to see a lot of Christianity in your paganism, in your spiritual practice. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not what I really wanted. So I've put this off, but I figured that this is a way to help me get it out. Get out the thoughts and the deconstructing process. It's a way to do it without putting it all in a book, in a journal. I've never been very good at journaling ever, so I mean, this is easier. And instead of just talking to myself or thinking out loud, late at night, this is a way for me to get feedback from other pagans and, other people who practice an open spirituality or a agnostic Christian, pagan, Wicca, Nordic, Egyptian, Hindu, Buddhist outlook. Just to kind of test the waters of my thought process, to make sure that I'm on the right path in my head, to make sure that I understand everything, because having dyslexia, I do tend to get my own wires crossed, so it's a whole thing. And I think that this could be helpful not only for me, but for whoever is out there listening to this who's feeling confused and lost. I will have educational stuff, because for the next episode, it's modern takes and pop culture paganism, which has been a really big thing that I've been seeing in the witch groups and the pagan groups on like Facebook and on pagan Twitter and on witch talk on TikTok, for those who don't know. There's always this whole back and forth between what is and isn't acceptable in our practice and what mythos to go with. And it's usually the very young who think they're like college level, PhD, master's degrees, like super doctor. They think that they're the end all be all of that knowledge because they had an eighth grade mythology segment that lasted 3 weeks. Like, maybe tops. So they come at it from the standpoint of that. And I'm not putting down the youth because I was one of them. I used to have that standpoint. So it's also about marking my growth and... Oh, sorry. Bumped the microphone. And helping everyone else kind of grow from the situations that we find ourselves in. Because it's about community. It's about helping one another. So episode 2 being the modern takes and pop culture paganism is a bit of a lengthy episode. And then we've got... The Book of Shadows and Grimoires. And then for the fourth episode, I have lined up discernment. Because a lot of times within the community, you hear, use your discernment, your intuition. You know, what is that? And how does one cultivate it? Because people will just tell you to do the thing and then not explain anything. They won't tell you how to do it. They won't give you the helping hand that you're asking for, and they just expect you to know. And they're like, well, I don't have time to put in the physical and the emotional labor to educate you. You need to do your own research. Well, the research in a lot of cases brings you to 400 or 500 page books by authors who may not necessarily be the most credible. So that's one of the things that I also want to do, is I want to take a look at plugging the holes and trying to either construct a brand new dam for, you know, younger pagans, you know. And I say younger, realizing that I'm 30 and I'm now getting to be an older pagan. But I think now is like the right time to kind of take a step out there and be like, hey, look, so we got some stuff to work on. Can we try and correct some of this? Because having been, you know, one of the youngling pagans who is out here completely unaware of what they're doing, who is completely just confused and flabbergasted at everything that's going on, and having people tell me, well, just do the thing. And it's like, can you either tell me how or point me in the direction of materials that will? And a lot of times people don't actually present you with the materials that will tell you what to do. They'll just tell you to do the thing or to do your own research. And then when you come back and you're like, oh, hey, I did my thing. I did the research. So what do I do now? Like, how do I go from here? And then they tell you, oh, well, that's not a credible source. You need to do more research. It's frustrating. Sorry. It just... because I've been in that spot. And someone has to do the labor to help guide. And sometimes going in person isn't always easy. So I'm hoping to kind of help that along, and along with the deconstruction, a little bit of teaching, and that teaching is going to come in doing ye old tarot pull of the day, tarot draw reading. I might go up to a 3-card draw per day, just because sometimes a one card isn't enough and drawing that second card, you get curious. So then there's a third card that's just randomly pulled and you're like, do I stop or do I keep going? I mean, I could do a full spread, but do I really have time for that? So you're sitting there thinking to yourself, maybe I should. And that is the point where I constantly find myself at with a one card pull. I may switch it up and do rune pulls. And I want to just throw out there on the subject of the reading, the weekly reading. I use the As Above deck, and that is not your standard typical tarot deck. It's very witchy. It's very spiritual and pagan in its imagery and card names, very much so. Now, add into that, I'm also going to be doing partway through. We're going to take a break each episode and do a gemstone of the day. Yep. My overall plan is to do the educational, deconstruct not only myself but any, you know, any stories or anything like that I get from the audience who wants to share their experiences and how they came into it and where they're at and things that they want to learn. Social media is open. It's there. Twitter and Instagram are some really good ways to get a hold of me, or through the Facebook page, The Remnants of Reese's Remember All. Those are good ways to get a hold of me, and I can, with your permission, talk about some of the things that you're going through and trying to figure out with deconstruction and everything else, and maybe finding some resources for you and also for myself, because some of these books that I've been picking up and going through and reading are there. They've got a whole thing where right in the middle of a ritual or right in the middle of a rite, they'll go right directly full bore hardcore into, we need to thank the angels and Jesus Christ and God Almighty right in the middle of a pagan ritual. And you're like, no, I'm not going to sit here and lay out four more offerings for angels and gods and entities that I don't follow. You know, and to just give a point of my, you know, personal point of view on practice is that it's personal, but I'm putting myself out there. And the thing is that I think it's all to some degree legit, like all of it, like the Torah, the Bible, the Quran, the Eddas, the Celtic lore, because it's not really a codified book that I can recall from back in the day. Whereas the Eddas were codified by a Catholic monk. One version of them was, anyway. And then the Greco-Roman, they had their authors who wrote down a lot of the stories and the mythos and everything like that. So to a certain degree that I do think that, you know, on some level, it's all legit. But then you have to find where your home is in all of that, where your pantheon is. And I will constantly be calling pantheons and sects of paganism, I will call them homes. some are lifetime, some are not. Some are seasonal. You'll have them for a few years, and then you'll move on to the next one. And that's kind of what I've done for a while now. That's why I will say to people that my current home is in the Nordic Pantheon. Asa True Practitioner, which I just learned there is a term, and I cannot remember it right now offhand, and I did not write it down because Big Dumb Dumb here did not write it down, and I should have, but there's one for the veneer. And right now my patrons are more acier than veneer, so I'm still fine with Asa True. I think it's Vana True. I think that's what it is. See, it came to me. But seeing that I'm looking at picking up a couple of others to honor that are in the veneer and are on the side of Freya with her and her halls, I'm going to be probably making a shift over, and also being more of a magical practitioner rather than an warrior. You know, it makes sense. And also being gender non-binary and like very heavily queer, it also makes more sense to go that route than the Halls of Valhalla. So, and that is something that we'll get further into. I'm just at this point kind of rambling because my notes for the episode have run to a stop. Also, okay, so to get myself back on track here, all of that aside, I plan to cover as many topics as I can possibly get my hands on. I want to do the educational. I want to do the deconstruction. I want to also have guests to interview and dive deeper into topics. Get some of my local community elders interviewed and have them talk about their particular practice and talk about how what they do differs from what I do and how that's completely okay, because so many people will be like, no, you have to practice this way or it's not legit. And you got to tell that little gremlin to go bugger off. And I will say that language with me is always probably going to be better to be, you know, 16 to 18 plus minimum. Like, not always suitable for young years, but I'm going to try to maintain a quote-unquote family-friendly language for absolutely everyone. But, you know, growing up around truckers and military veterans, it just kind of happens. Also, a lot of mechanics, too. You know, a very heavily blue-collar family. So, I learned all the big no-no words very young. And I learned how to combine them in very interesting ways. Excuse me. I am having acid reflux problems today. At the time of the recording. Anyway. So, yes. There will be all of that. You know, get the elders in and get them involved. Just to show how not only practices change between people, but also how they evolve through generations. Because they'll point out, and talking to some of them, they have pointed out how their practice is different from their parents and their grandparents, you know, other people that they learned from, their elders, how their practice differs from their elders and their elders' elders, if that made sense at all, which I hope it does. And maybe get them to help out with some guided meditations for self-help. You know, that's something that I'm going to be doing as well. I really do want this to be something that isn't coded in modern trying to figure out how to put this politely. The toxic positivity of happy, happy, joy, joy, happy-go-lucky, love and light only, positive energy only, you know, the fluffy bunny, there is no evil in the world except for that which lives in the hearts of mankind. Got another thing for you there, sweetheart. There is a dark side to the force there, Luke, and it's not pretty. And that quotation is directly from one of my mentors. He would say that a lot, and to learn from him was to learn how to combat that internally as well as externally. You have to own your own crap in order to be able to deal with crap outside of yourself in any kind of effective way. So I hope that all of that gets to be done and that we can have a moment and have a time where we can go forth and have a better experience with ourselves and with our greater pagan community. And that's kind of all of these goals and all of these thoughts are what I'm hoping that not only I can get out of this, but you, the listener, can as well. Because we got to do this together. And I know that for me and for so many others, we are solitary practitioners. And anytime we've tried to come together with a group and have a solid group, it just kind of falls apart. I mean, if we're going to be completely honest. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a poor reflection on us and who we are, but it is a thing that happens. So I guess that's another reason why I'm doing this, is because I don't want to be solitary, but I don't want to be with a group. So it's also for those of us who are like that, kind of amniverts or omniverts, but for the craft. I'm trying to think of if there is a term for that within the craft, and I don't think there is, but if anybody has any ideas for that, please, I'm serious, please let me know if there is. And if you don't know of one, please go ahead and hit me up with your best suggestions, and then we can just start calling ourselves that for our Sunday shows. With all of that said, we're actually going to take a moment and we're not going to start the gemstones today, but we are going to go ahead and do the tarot pull. Now, you're going to hear me shuffle the cards. Some people say, oh, don't do the bridge thing. Well, I can't do the bridge, so, but I can do the, I can do the start of the bridge. And I've had some readers and some diviners tell me that I needed to go through after every reading and make sure all my cards were facing the same direction. And I'm like, but then how do you get, you know, your inverse reading? And they're like, oh, well, I don't do that. What do you mean you don't do that? What do you mean that you don't? You don't do that. You mean you don't do that at all? Ever? Like, how does that work? Because sometimes things hide really well. And you need... Oh, well, I guess that one wanted out. So it looks like we're going to be doing more than one. Shuffling, and one flipped right out. Now, the thing with these is they're very beautiful. And maybe I'll put up a photo of the box. And or not the box, but the book. Because I don't have the box anymore. The box went with the secondary deck that the cards came with. There was two, As Above and So Below. So Below was a very highly feminine energy. And we did not work together at all in any way. It just was not a good relationship. It was like getting shocked every time I picked up the deck to use. This one, it's like being set in a nice bath. I like As Above a lot more. So, the one that fell out is the Six of Fire, or the Six of Wands, for those who know tarot, but it has a different meaning. And I was on airtime the other day, last night actually, and one of the Love Squad fam, she said something that really kind of struck with me with this deck, is that it's not always just about what the card means. You don't have to spend all your time memorizing, because it's what... The cards are a conduit to that energy and that divine sense, that higher sense. And it's about what you see when you look at the card and when you pull it, because it could change. But its core will hearken back to the meaning that it is ascribed to. So that was what she was saying, and I just kind of added on to it. Because it does harken back to what the core of the card is ascribed to. Oh, and we have the Summerlands Inverted. What's that? Yes, the Summerlands Inverted. Whew, okay. Well, for the coming week... there's definitely some big upheaval coming your way. And it's going to feel like you're spiraling out of control. And that what good you have had and what has come your way is running away from you. It's flying out of your hands. It's just slipping right through your fingers, and you're losing all sense of direction and control, but you have grounding. You have, there's someone or something, some force in your life from the Six of Fire that is just holding you down from totally just spiraling out of control. They're your anchor. Whoever or whatever that is, you may not see them, and it may not be who you expect it to be, but they're there, and they got you. Even if it seems like they don't actually have you or have your back, there are things happening that you're not seeing because you're focused on trying to maintain any sense of sanity, any semblance of hope within yourself that they may go unnoticed. And I get the sense that they're okay with that, that you would do or have done the same for them. And that is... perfectly fine. You have that kind of relationship. So be aware and don't beat yourself up too much this coming week. Cards back into their little pouch. Yes, I also have a handmade pouch made by myself. So if you are a tarot reader or a rune reader, or you just need something to hold your wand or your incense or whatever, please do feel free to get a hold of me over on my Etsy store. I do make card bags and rune bags and the whole work. So that's my selfless, shameless little plug for my store. And if you don't see anything there that you like, please email me, reach out on Instagram or Twitter, and I will pull out the rest of my stock, because that's not my entire stock. That's only a small portion of it. So I have plenty more. And with that lovely reading out of the way, to let you know that you are not alone in your coming trials and tribulations, I want to reiterate again that next week we'll be talking about modern takes and pop culture paganism. That would be modern takes on mythology and the divine stories that are the foundation of the pagan faith, and the pop culture influence that has cropped up in the last 60 years. Something that is more heavily prevalent today. So, until next time, merry meet, merry part, and until we merry meet again, hail to the old ones, and blessed be.